97.5, The Fanatic.
You done messed up, A-A-Ron!
All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Stasek in the house, 2 hours down, two more to go. Having a great time with all y'all tonight. Got a lot of votes, so I guess a lot of folks are listening. If you watched the games today, you were somewhat entertained with the first game. The second game was a blowout. It got a little closer, but it wasn't as close as the score would indicate. What was it, 37 or 30? Was this 37 to 20? Let me see here.
Yep, 37.
37 to 20, and the Chiefs down 10 early in the game, won by 11. So I hope you took my picks. Both of them won big, and both of them covered. And if you haven't heard, the Chiefs are a 1.5-point favorite in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. So what would that be? That would be 52, 53, 54. Super Bowl 54, right? Because the Patriots won after the Eagles won. Yeah, okay. Super Bowl 54 in Miami. That's going to be unbelievable, having a Super Bowl in Miami with South Beach and everything. That used to be my spot. That was my digs. South Beach, I haven't been there in years. 2 or 3 years. So I used to go like twice a year. Great time. It is just a people-watching extravaganza. Fun, though. It's really fun. If you like to eat and drink.
Got to see the Hurricanes, too?
I did on several occasions. Not when they were good, though. I went to a Penn State-Miami game in 91. They went on to win the championship, and it was a real close game. They had Tony Sacca, Penn State did, and Miami won. It was close. And then I've been to some games over the last few years, and they haven't been good. I saw Calvin Williams eat them alive in a night game when Georgia Tech was in town. Saw North Carolina State beat them in overtime. Saw Tennessee beat them 10-6. Not so much. But anyway, South Beach is going to be a kick. That's going to be a hoot. Gosh darn it. I don't know if that city's ready for that. That's going to be nuts. Just nuts. I wish I was down there for it. Covered a lot of things. Never covered a Super Bowl. Almost did. Almost covered the Super Bowl with the Eagles lost to the Cardinals, and the Cardinals went on to lose to the Steelers. They win that game, I'm off to the Super Bowl. Never covered a Super Bowl. Covered 3 Stanley Cup finals, 3 World Series, a couple NBA finals. Never a Super Bowl.
Which Cup finals did you cover?
I covered the ones in 97 and was I around for the 87 one? 97 and 2010. Two I covered. Sorry. Actually, I covered another one, but it wasn't Flyers. It was when Brian Propp was with Minnesota. I think they played Boston way back. But yeah, that was awesome. That's my baby. The Flyers are my baby. That was so much fun. 2010. Almost sending the series to a game 7. They wouldn't have won game 7. Chicago turned it on like they did in game 5. The Flyers can't hang with them. Another team that doesn't have team speed. Another team without team speed. You watched
all guys are slow back there.
You watched the postseason, you watched the hockey playoffs, which are it's the greatest show on television. NHL players. Even people that don't like hockey agree with that. But you watch those teams that have gotten to the conference finals, the finals, the Stanley Cup champion. There's no way the Flyers, as they're constructed now, could hang with that team. And whatever team. They could have never hung with Boston last year. And they didn't. They always got smoked in the regular season. Same with St. Louis. They just, it's just a faster game. Just like watching the Chiefs today. It's just a faster game. You know, Birds don't have that speed. They need so much. You know, it's ridiculous. That's one of the reasons I threw that question out yesterday, because they need so much, but the quarterback's the most important position. So, you know, what do you do? I know the answer. The answer is no. They're not going to draft a franchise quarterback when Carson Wentz is only in year five. But I threw it out there, you know, and I want to play Donovan's, Natty, you back there. I want to play this one more time. Donovan got killed over this soundbite last April. I think it was April 23rd. Got annihilated in this town. He's on our show, by the way. He's on our air 9:30 on Mondays with the morning crew. I love it. He's great. He's fantastic. But this was Donovan on Carson Wentz last April.
I'm thinking the next two years or so, he has to find a way to get in the second round or out of the second round of the playoffs. You know, for what Nick Foles was able to do, to take him to a Super Bowl and then possibly take him back to the NFC Championship proves that, you know, hey, some people can get into that offense and be very successful. You know, he hasn't been healthy. He hasn't really proven to me, besides the year before he got hurt in his first year, of really the MVP candidate. He needs to get back to that mold. And I think personally, if he can't get out of the second round in the next two years, to be honest with you, if he can't get out of the second round, they should look to possibly draft another quarterback, because you just don't know about his durability.
Yeah, well, we know a little bit more about his durability, and I know people take exception to the fact that, you know, I call him injury prone when he just got a concussion. Call it whatever you want. You know, call it a tow truck. I don't care. The fact is, the bottom line is, he's been injured five of the last 5 years. He did a great job protecting himself a little better this season through the first 16 games. But he can't take big shots. Last year when he broke his back, he took like 12 monster shots in the Minnesota game. Probably did it right there, the game they lost 23-21. He's got to stop taking big hits and taking chances. Throw the ball away. Get rid of it. I'm okay with it. I don't necessarily need to see a 280-pound guy's chasing you down, landing on top of you. I'm okay with that. I do like when you call your own number, you run the ball, or if the pocket collapses or opens up and you see some room to run and slide. I'm cool with that. Not head first. Not in traffic. Don't lower your shoulder to be a tough guy. Get down. You'll extend your career. I mentioned it before. Torrey Holt and Marvin Harrison were notorious for that. Torrey Holt of the Rams, Marvin Harrison of the Colts. Catch the ball and get down. Extended their careers. They're not being soft. They're not being schmussies. You know, that's the way to stay on the field. You see Eli, you ever see him really, except for the pass to David Tyree, you ever see him try to elude a sack? He buckles. I mean, he completely buckles. And that's why he's played every game. He started every game except the one he got benched by Ben McAdoo. Was it 2 years ago? Yeah. Healthy kid. Doesn't take the hard hit. Goes down when he needs to. Hey, like I mentioned earlier, we have a special guest on tonight from the Philadelphia Inquirer on the Comcast Business Hotline. Good buddy of mine, Les Bowman. How are you, Les?
Just great, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you coming on tonight. I know it's a Sunday night. You probably got things to do. I won't keep you that long, but I just got to ask you a few questions because I like your analysis, and I think the folks like it too. Did you hear, how long have you been listening, if at all, because did you hear Donovan's comments about Carson Wentz?
You know, I did not. I was watching the game, so
okay.
I haven't been.
Can you hold on 1 second? I want you to hear this, okay? This was last April. This was Donovan McNabb on Carson Wentz. Do you have it, Nat? Go ahead.
I'm thinking the next two years or so, he has to find a way to get in the second round or out of the second round of the playoffs. You know, for what Nick Foles was able to do, to take him to a Super Bowl and then possibly take him back to the NFC Championship proves that, you know, hey, some people can get into that offense and be very successful. You know, he hasn't been healthy. He hasn't really proven to me, besides the year before he got hurt in his first year, of really the MVP candidate. He needs to get back to that mold. And I think personally, if he can't get out of the second round in the next two years, to be honest with you, if he can't get out of the second round, they should look to possibly draft another quarterback, because you just don't know about his durability.
All right, that was Donovan last April, Les. Do you agree with those comments? Because I think they're he got killed over that around this town. I mean, he just got annihilated because everyone was, calling him jealous and a hater and whatnot. But do you agree with that at all? Because I'm starting to lean that way. It's been 3 years, three playoff runs, and he hasn't been around for any of them.
I don't know. He was around this year. He just got a concussion. He played every snap of the season except for like four, I think. It would depend on the situation, really. How are they losing? I mean, are they losing next year with him not healthy for the playoffs, or are they losing scoring 37 points or something? I don't know. It's a concern that he hasn't been able to win a playoff game. But this was really a fluke thing, the concussion. It really wasn't even a serious thing. I think he was fine within a few days. I don't really see that as any sort of huge obstacle going forward. I think luck might be. I think it might be valid to say that he's been cursed.
Yeah, you know, I said that yesterday.
So you need to wonder about that a little bit. But to me, it's kind of like Andy Reid was 1-8 against the Titans going into today.
Yeah.
Well, you saw what happened.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. I don't think it's going to have a lot to do with what happens next season. And I've been said a lot about Carson Wentz since last April, and a lot of it has been complimentary.
Oh, absolutely.
Leading them to those four wins in a row down
the stretch
this year.
Tremendous.
I don't know. I don't. With this team right now, that's the least of my concerns, really.
Is it? Okay. I know there's a ton of concerns. Go ahead.
They need like seven wide receivers and five corners and a linebacker, and then let's see what kind of team they have, and whether Wentz. Yeah, I would try to do something this off season to guarantee that I had a viable backup. And you're never going to have, Nick Foles again, unless Jacksonville cuts him, and then maybe you could have.
Yeah, right.
But usually you're not going to have someone of that level, as your backup. But you need to worry about that a little bit, because Josh McCown is 40 years old and is going to spend like 7 months rehabbing his leg. And, Nate Sudfeld, they like a lot. The first preseason game last year, he broke his wrist. Maybe you do need to address that matter this offseason. But I wouldn't be too worried about, whether Carson Wentz does this or that within 2 or 3 years from now. I kind of think there are more immediate concerns, I guess is what I should say.
Oh, there's plenty of them. But it might have been a fluke, but the bottom line is he's missed three straight years. Is the organization getting frustrated with him at all?
I'm sure they are. You were around the Flyers when Eric Lindros was playing for them.
Yeah.
And everybody now just talks about concussions. But you and I know that they were really frustrated even before the concussion started. Because Eric was really unlucky. He had a knee injury his rookie year. He was not at all, the physical force they thought he was going to be every night.
Right.
It just wasn't, he got a lot of little nagging injuries and missed a lot of games.
Oh, yeah. Puck went off somebody's leg once and up into his eye, and he had to miss a couple
right.
of games.
Yeah, things like that.
Yeah.
And it was irritating and frustrating, and his family didn't help that any. I don't think Carson has that problem, but
right.
But it is. There's a certain we thought we were going to get this, and instead we're watching some other guy play. At some point that does pile up, and you do have to worry about it a little, but I don't think there's anything you can do about it. I mean, they're paying him $128 million. they certainly can't go in any other direction anytime soon.
Right.
It's just one of those things that you just can't, there's no practical sense in being too frustrated by it. I think it is something that's in the lurking in the background there.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I also agree, and I said it yesterday, the most important position on this team may be the backup quarterback next year. And they're going to have to figure out, you know, what to do with that position. I don't know what they're going to do, but I think it's very important to have a good, viable backup. They're not going to have Nick Foles, like you said, unless he gets cut, like you said. But they're going to have to, you know, make sure they have someone in place that can come in. And, yeah, I mean, Josh McCown almost beat Seattle. You know, you get a little better of quarterback, and maybe that's a difference.
I really thought Josh was pretty decent.
He was. He was good.
But that injury he suffered and his age really makes you, you know, think about whether he could possibly do that again. I mean, this was the only time that he really had to play a lot, and he got seriously injured, you know, because he's 40 years old. And,
right.
You know, it's just not a, I don't think you can say, well, Josh will heal up and we can just do that again.
Right.
I'm not even sure he wants to do that.
Right.
Again, you know.
Yeah. So. I mean, he was flying home every Friday, wasn't he, to coach
right.
his,
exactly.
coach
yes,
his son's
coach,
team?
My alma mater, Myers Park High School.
Is that right?
Yes.
No kidding. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was funny. I got every week I would ask him how the Mustangs were doing. They had a hell of a year.
Did they?
Yeah. They've got, one thing that's happened there in Charlotte, there are a few programs that a lot of NFL players have settled in the area, guys who played for the Panthers or just kind of like the area. So all their kids are in these programs. That was why Josh was flying back, because his two sons were playing there. And there were several NFL offspring on that team. And that's true of a few teams around there. I don't really know how they all end up in the same teams. That's
right.
A little curious. But yeah, that's kind of a deal there. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. When I heard that the first time, I was like, you got to be kidding me. But I think it's great. I thought he was great. It was a valiant effort.
Yeah.
Came up just a little short. So I'm watching these games last. I know you watch the games as well.
Yep.
And I'm watching KC, and I'm looking at that team speed, and I'm looking at the Eagles. I'm looking at all four of these teams, maybe not Green Bay so much, but they seem like they're in a different league than the Eagles are right now. How far away are the Eagles?
That's a very hard question to answer, Joe. I do think if they can get a couple really good receivers, and if they can get a lockdown corner somehow, they're a very good team. Now, if they're at the level of San Francisco or Kansas City, gosh, I don't know. I mean, it's just, that's really hard to say. But I don't think they're a bad team or anything. They are going to have a lot of upheaval this year. There's a lot of free agents. You've seen four now coaching vacancies come up on the staff. It is going to be a big year of kind of transition, and they might go into next season looked at differently than last offseason. Last offseason this time, or certainly by training camp time, I think the Eagles were considered one of the top two or three teams.
Yes, they were. Absolutely.
That ended up not being the case. And we think somewhat because of injuries, but maybe not entirely because of injuries. And I don't think that's going to be how they're going to be looked at. I think they're going to be a younger team with a lot of questions and a lot of young guys that are going to have to produce. And the speed thing is real, especially offensively. You know, the only place that they're really slow defensively is a corner. I think their linebackers and their D linemen are very quick, you know, and their safeties are okay. Jenkins and McLeod. McLeod might not be back, but you know, I don't think they're really slow there. But offensively, they're slow. There's no doubt about it. They really need an injection of speed. The offensive line isn't slow. They're pretty athletic. But
yeah.
The wide receivers and the fact that you have to run so much of the offense through the tight end possession, which isn't, you know, a quick strike, long ball, you know, run past five people and score.
Grind it out.
That makes it more of a grinded out offense. And, you know, it's better not to have to do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's really hard to score touchdowns that way. I mean, you take a penalty, or you know, somebody drops a pass, and suddenly you're in crisis. You know, and it's you know, watching Mahomes today. I mean, he just there was a things tightened up a little bit there for a little bit, and he just aired one out, you know, threw it like 60 yards for a touchdown, and problem solved, you know.
Right.
You need to be able to do that, and the Eagles certainly can't right now.
No, they cannot. I was going to ask you, Les, before I let you go, to break down the games a little bit today about what happened and who you'd like in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are a 1.5-point favorite right now.
Well, that's easy. I'm always going to pull for Andy Reid. And
you a big fan? You a big fan?
You know, people always thought that we had some kind of really contentious relationship because once or twice he barked at me in press conferences.
Right, I remember.
But
I was
that,
there.
That wasn't, you know, that wasn't a big deal. And I actually, of the Eagles coaches I've covered, I'm much closer to him than any others. I could text him right now and get a response before midnight, you know.
Wow.
I mean, so no, yeah, I will pull for Andy. And there's plenty of other people involved in that operation. Brett Veach, the GM, worked here. Is from the greater area, not really right around here, but he played at Delaware. Mark Donovan, the vice president here, was the president there, I guess. And, you know, Rick Burkholder, the trainer. There's
I remember Rick. I used to know Rick.
Good, you know, not to mention Jason Kelsey's brother. I think he plays there somehow.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
you know, so yeah, I'll be pulling for those guys. But yeah, they were amazing. I thought that was the better game, obviously, of the two.
Totally.
The Titans, a lot of people thought the Titans were going to do what the 49ers did to the Packers and just run all day. But that, if you can score points, you know, it makes it hard to run all day. And that's one thing that happened. And the other thing is you really ought to be able to stop the run no matter who the running back is if you commit to it. And I don't know what the hell the Packers were doing in that second game. They did not pack the box. Raheem Mostert, who was in the Eagles.
Former Eagle, by the way.
Training camp, yep. In preseason. Ran for 220 yards.
Yep.
That's just unbelievable. And, you know, it's a great offensive line, obviously, there in San Francisco. I think it'll be a great Super Bowl. I don't think it'll be anything at all like last year's 13-3, you know, dud. But I think it'll be a great Super Bowl, but I like Mahomes. I think of the two quarterbacks, he's by far the better. And I think he'll score enough points that the 49ers will have to get out of their comfort zone a little bit and throw it downfield. And I don't know about Garoppolo. Sometimes he's very good. He's not, and they would rather him not have to throw it.
Do you think it might have hurt him today? He only threw 8 passes. That's not a lot of, you know, not a lot of reps, game reps, you know, heading into the Super Bowl
in a pressure situation.
Yeah,
I don't know. I wouldn't go that far, but I would say that it really illustrates where they are with him, you know, and what they would prefer to do, which is not put the game on him. So if I'm Kansas City and Steve Spagnuolo is the defensive coordinator there's another guy.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, if I'm Spagnuolo, I look at that and that's where I start. Okay, they don't want to make Garoppolo win the game for them. Then that's what we're going to do. We're going to make Garoppolo win the game.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a good game, Les. I think it's going to, well, it has
really
to.
Should be. And it would be so cool to see Andy finally nail one down. You know, he's spent a lot of his life here. He buried a son here.
Yeah.
He's the guy that touted Doug Peterson to the
Eagles. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's still a lot of connection there. And there's some talk that Mike Kafka, his quarterback's coach, could be the next Eagles offensive coordinator.
Yeah, so, if he lets him interview, do you think he'll let him do that?
Well, he'll have to wait until after the Super Bowl. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I heard that they could block it because he wouldn't be calling plays. But I don't know if that's – it is a coordinator job and not a quarterback's coach job. I had never heard that you could block a position coach from a coordinator job.
Right.
Just because he wasn't calling plays. I'll have to check that out and make sure that's really true. I know that the job becomes less attractive to hot young, you know, prospects.
Sure.
Because you're not calling your own plays.
Right.
You're not running your offense. Whereas if you were you were offensive coordinator for a defensive coach, you'd be, you know, doing your stuff.
You'd be the guy.
Yeah, but I did not know that you couldn't block a guy from doing that. So we'll have to see. I like the name of Graham Harrell, which was brought up.
What's that? I'm sorry. Say again.
Graham Harrell.
Oh yeah,
his name. Yeah.
Anything there?
I don't know, but I certainly think he's a guy that has that air raid, you know, in his background. That new, fairly new for the NFL anyway, way of running an offense, and I would love to see some new ideas in the Eagles' offense.
Yeah, so would I, Les. Sometimes it was painful to watch last year, but certainly made it interesting down the stretch and made it to the playoffs second year. They did that, you know, coming back from, you know, the depths of, you know, the bowels of the NFL. And I thought it was impressive. Hey, you're impressive, man. I appreciate you coming on. Thanks for your time tonight, pal, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Always good to talk to you, Joe. Take care.
You too, Les. Thank you very much. Les Bowen, my man. Love Les Bowen. Great stuff. We'll talk about it later, but Steve Callis is coming up after this, and we'll break down the game. So I'm Joe Stazak here till midnight. Stick around.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, we're back. Welcome to the Joe Stazak Show. Here till midnight tonight, breaking down the games, talking about what the Eagles need, talking about Donovan McNabb and Carson Wentz. Who would you take if you had to start your team? That's our Twitter poll question of the night at 97.5 The Fanatic. That is where you need to go to cast your vote. Last time we checked, 84%. 84% went with Carson Wentz. That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. I thought it would at least be split down the middle. Thought it would at least be split. Steve Callis will join us very shortly. Okay, hold on one sec. Yeah, all right, gotcha. All right, we're back. We're trying to get Steve Callis. I'm sorry. We're having some problems getting through. All right, so I apologize. We will get to Steve shortly. We're having some trouble, like I said, hooking up with him. But before we do that, let's go to Josh in Lower Merion on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Joshy?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you?
Hey, I tried to call in earlier because I heard a couple callers, and I don't even know if it was your show or the one right before you, that were talking about Carson Wentz. Have you, like, sat down and looked at this man's stats? The people that call up and are like, oh, you know, he's injury prone. Oh, he's not a franchise quarterback. It's enough to drive you crazy. And I think a lot of us in Philadelphia pride ourselves on being like knowledgeable, intelligent sports fans. And when these people call up, it's like the same conversation when, you know, they're calling up and basically saying like, oh, let's trade Ben Simmons for this, or, oh, Joel Embiid is, you know, the same as the olden Ptolemies back in the day. It just makes no sense. Like, I don't understand where Philadelphia just distanced themselves from Carson Wentz. It makes no sense to me, bro. Please tell me why. Why are they doing this?
Because he's not around to see it through. He hasn't been around to see it through. I don't know if there's that many haters out there, but I think everyone's getting a little frustrated with him. Everyone's getting a little frustrated.
So you're on the same mindset as some of the frustrated fan base.
Well, I'm frustrated. What do you mean the same mindset?
Well, I mean, because you said he's not around to see it through, but I ask you, what is the man supposed to do when an ignorant Jadeveon Clowney, you know, buckles his head, helmet to helmet? Like, what is he supposed to do from that? Like, lie and say he doesn't have a concussion?
Should have thrown the ball away. That's the alternative.
No. It wasn't a play that he could throw the ball away.
Sure it was. The screen pass wasn't there. Got to get rid of it. Brother, I got to go. Thanks, Yashi. We got Steve on the line. Okay, on the Comcast Business Outline right now, as promised, the great Steve Callis from WestchesterCountyPost.com. You can see his video links under Sports Spotlight for previews and reviews of all playoff games. You can also go to his Facebook group page, Speaking of Sports with Steve Callis. How you doing, Steven?
All good, Joe. Great to be with you as always.
You too, man. All right, let's get right to it. Let's get to game one. Chiefs and Titans, another slow start, down 10, down 24 last week, down 10 today, and they just took a while to get that motor running, and when they did, it was lights out.
Yeah, so if I told you who had more rushing yards in that game, the Chiefs or the Titans, who would you pick?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Look, these guys are so explosive. We talked about it yesterday. We talked about it on the podcast. Unlike the Ravens, they can come from behind. And as you saw, once Tennessee got behind, they really couldn't come from behind. Because as great as the running game is, and it's great, and the 49ers have a great one as well, if they get down, they're not coming back. The Ravens weren't coming back. Once the Chiefs got ahead, they weren't coming back. And I think that might be the preview big story, frankly, for the Super Bowl. The 49ers can run it, but if they get behind, and KC's so explosive, I mean, you know, they scored three in a row today. They had three possession, three touchdowns after they were down, you know, 17-7. They had three touchdowns in three possessions and four touchdowns in five possessions, and that's the ballgame.
And they had like seven in a row last week, did they not?
Yes. That's an all-time record, yeah.
That's a juggernaut of an offense. Now, can their defense keep up with that San Francisco's offense?
Well, I have to point today, you know, Derrick Henry, you know what they're going to do, 19 carries, 69 yards. Now, again, you can say, well, KC got ahead, but KC is so explosive that they can get ahead, even against San Francisco has an excellent defense. You know, I kind of, after the first game, I was like, I really like the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Then I watched the second game. They're healthy now. We've talked about this for 2 weeks now. Last week, they got back Quan Alexander. They got back D Ford. They got back Tart, the safety. That's three guys they were missing for 4 or 5 weeks. They got them all back last week, so they played last week. They were dominant. They played this week. They were dominant while it was a game. I know they scored some at the end, but it really wasn't a game for most of the game. And I think they're going to be very tough. I think, you know, you got to do a lot of studying, look at some injury reports, find out what's happening a couple days before. I'm sure we'll do it on the podcast. I'm sure we'll do it here as well. But my goodness, they looked awful good.
I thought for the longest time that there was a mistake with ESPN stats because I saw it was late in the third quarter and Jimmy Garoppolo was 4 of 6. He threw the ball and he finished 6 of 8. Now, he didn't need to. He didn't need to do much because Raheem Mostert, a former Eagle, by the way, busted up the Packers defense. But do you think that it will hurt him at all? Because he didn't get a chance to really get in a groove here in a pressure situation.
Well, I'll say this, Ryan Tannehill, less than 100 yards the first two games, and they needed him today to throw the ball down the field and make some long completions, and he just couldn't. Now, it's partly the Chiefs' defense, you know, has improved, but I think it's also partly the guy threw, I think, for 160 yards combined in the first two games.
He did.
And I think there's something to that. Today he throws it 30 times. He wasn't terrible. He just wasn't that good. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's had a great comeback year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it might hurt Jimmy a little bit because he has to. He threw for 253 yards in the first game against Green Bay when they crushed him.
Yep.
And so I think it has to hurt a little. But you know what the game plan is going to be, but it's going to be exactly the Titans' game plan. So San Francisco, their offensive line might be a little better. But they don't have anybody like Derrick Henry, as good as Mostert was. And Tevin Coleman looked like he broke his wrist or his elbow or his shoulder or something. I don't know if he's going to be able to play. But Mostert was a beast. 29 carries for 220 yards. It's the second most ever in an NFL playoff game. 4 rushing touchdowns. I mean, He was incredible.
One of those Timmy Smith performances, that kid from the Redskins in that Super Bowl. But go ahead.
Yes, no. So I think he's just going to, you're going to have to wait and see, because, again, it's all about, like, I thought if Kansas City got in front early today, you know, it was going to be over, but they didn't. They got down 10-0, 17-7. They're the one team in this whole group. I don't put the 49ers' ability to come back in that group. I don't put Green Bay. They do have Aaron Rodgers, but they just don't have the weapons other than Devontae Adams. I don't put Tennessee in that group, the ability to come from behind. But this Chiefs team, you know, watching the game with my son, and I don't know, the ball was punted to the 20 and there was a penalty, so I went back to the 10. I said, with this guy, it doesn't matter if he starts at the 10 or the 20,
right,
or the 40.
Doesn't matter.
He's going down the field, and
yep,
he did it two times. They went 90 yards once. I mean, it's just incredible what he can do. He's a level above everybody right now, Patrick Mahomes.
Unbelievable performances last two games. Now, I like this guy as a person, but you know how I feel about him as a head coach. He's on the cusp. He's playing in the second biggest game of his career. He's going against Kyle Shanahan, who you know I like, except for him spitting up that Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
Correct.
He talked about it today. He said he'll take it to his grave, but he said he's kind of over it. But anyway, who do you like in the coaching matchup? And, you know, Big Red has a reputation for coming up small in big games. What do you think about this one?
Well, I mean, I think he came up big today.
Huge.
You have to give him credit, I think.
Of course.
You know, what was the number? 1-8 against the Titans after the game. I turned to my son and go, yeah, now he's 2-8.
Yeah, right?
Because now he's 2-8. So next year if they play again, oh, he's only 2-8? No, they're not going to say that anymore. So I think Reed has tremendous experience. You're kind of rooting for him because he's due one almost, you might think. He's been an excellent coach for a long time. But I think a lot's going to depend on how the running game of the 49ers goes against the Chiefs. And I'll say it again. They were able, you know, Derrick Henry, as it turns out to me, he's like a closer on a team that's losing. You know, if you're a closer on a good team, you're going to come in and save the games all the time or put it away. And that's what Derrick Henry did the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
He nailed the coffin in the second half because they couldn't stop him. They were so tired from trying to stop him in the first half. But when you're losing, you saw he comes out on every 3rd and 6, 3rd and 8. He's of no value to them. And then when they get way down, and I don't know if they started to throw the ball too early. I don't know if Mike Vrabel, at least on one or two plays, you were like, just give it to Henry. It's early fourth quarter. You can do this. But he started slinging it. And I know that's what Andy Reid does. Although Andy Reid ran the ball a lot today.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think with Mahomes, you can run the ball on first down, Joe, and you know it's going to be 2nd and 9, but it doesn't matter because you've taken another minute and 20 seconds off the clock. They must have done it 3 times in a row, and then he threw for first downs on 2nd and 9 or 3rd and 7. And that's really how they killed the clock, I thought. And, coaching matchup is tough because Shanahan has his own incredible mess-ups in that Super Bowl against the Patriots. I don't think Andy Reid's done something like that in the Super Bowl that he was in. I don't remember the
not
whole
like
thing.
Not like that,
but,
no.
So, and it's interesting he says he has to live with it because, you know, my son and I were at that game, and if he took 3 knees and let Matt Bryan kick a field goal, they would have gone up 10 and probably would have won the Super Bowl, frankly. But they got all pass-happy and whatever. But I'm going to call the coaching matchup a draw because he's never been there except when he was, Kyle Shanahan I'm talking about. It was one of the colossal screw-ups in Super Bowl history. It's not giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch to run it in against the Patriots in the prior Super Bowl. But you know what? It's kind of on a similar level because all you had to do was kick like a 40 or 42-yard field goal. I heard you talk about Matt Bryant before, one of the most accurate kickers in the history of the NFL. It was just bizarre to watch that game, to actually be there and watch that game. But that's what happened. And, you know, once the Patriots won the coin flip for overtime, the game was over.
That was done.
They scored a touchdown. So he's got an incredible mess up. Does that mean he won't do it again? You hope so for his sake.
Right.
But I think Andy Reid, with his long history, this Mahomes to me is so good, he can overcome any kinds of mistakes, whether on his side or on the other side.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm not sure where I fall on this. I think I'm leaning Green Bay. I'm certainly betting Green Bay. Now, you went 4-0.
Hold it. Green Bay?
I'm sorry, San Francisco.
Okay.
It's getting late.
Yep.
No, so, I like San Francisco, but here's the deal. You went 4-0 last week. So, folks, if you listen to the podcast or listen to the show, when Steve's on, you made some money. Your playoff record the last 3 years is ridiculous. What's the number? Do you know the number?
I think it's like 25-7, maybe 24-8. I'd have to go back and look at 1 week. But the last 3 years, yeah, because I've been on with you all the time. We're certainly on the Eagles that year. We were in there early for every playoff game. And even last year, you know, one of my losses was the Bears. I thought, you know, we always go back to Alshon Jeffrey and that catch. But certainly like the Patriots last year. And, you know, kind of jumped on the Chiefs bandwagon, frankly, this year. But yeah, it's somewhere, you know, there's 33 games, there's 11 playoff games every year. So it's something like 25-7, maybe 24-8, or 24-7-1. I'd have to go look at the actual point spreads. And this year, you know, I like the Patriots and the Eagles, and those are my two losses this year. And that's almost from the heart bets, frankly.
Right.
Not that I didn't think they could win. And of course, once Wentz gets hurt, that game totally changed. And the Patriots, in retrospect, losing 14-13, you know, to the Titans and not being able to run the same play three times, running off the left side first and goal from the three and settling for a field goal on fourth down. That was like the play of that game. So that was unusual to me. But, you know, you and I are usually picking the Patriots and usually picking the Eagles for the most part because they did so well certainly 2 years ago with Nick Foles and even the next year with Nick Foles. But I know you're talking about Wentz all night and I'm still talking about Nick Foles. So there's a problem there and I agree with you. I don't think I like Les a lot and he knows a lot and he knows more than me about the Eagles. But I don't think the quarterback situation would be way down on my list because it's now 3 years in a row this guy couldn't finish the season. And I think you said 1 or 2 years in college maybe. And that's a problem. That's a big sample size for a quarterback's career.
I agree.
That's not 1 year.
Yep.
So I think I hope it's higher for the Eagles because I think something has to be at least thought about, if not done.
Great stuff, my friend. I know we're going to wait on your pick till we get closer to the game. I know you want to make some money, folks. This is the guy to listen to. He's Steve Callis. He's on with me, the podcast every week, Callis Remarks with Joe Stazak and Steve Callis. He's also the sports editor of WestchesterCountyPost.com. And you can also join his Facebook group, Speaking of Sports with Steve Callis. Steven, great job, my friend. Great talking to you, and I'll certainly catch up with you this week.
You're the best, Joe. Always a pleasure.
You too, Steve. Thanks, man. Steve Callis, rocking and rolling. We got to take a break. I'm Joe Stazak here till midnight. We'll come back. We'll talk about the games as Steve talked about them, and we'll break down the Super Bowl a little bit. I'm Joe Stazak here till midnight tonight.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. I'm Joe Stazak here till 12 tonight. You can follow me on Twitter at JoeStazak975. I love when these idiots tweet me. They don't understand what I actually said, so they embarrass themselves by showcasing their low IQ. This one is from Angryologist. You could tell right there this guy's a zero.
Uh-oh.
So, Joe, is comparing Carson to Eli Manning saying he should take the sack like Eli does? Hey, Joe, does Eli Manning have the mobility that Carson has? They're completely different types of athletes. Turning the dial so your audience just went from 10 to 9. Hey, moron, has Eli Manning ever missed a game? Has he ever missed a game? Dumbass. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at JoeStazak975. I don't know what he's talking about. We have 3,000 votes on our Twitter page. The question of the night is, if you had to choose one quarterback to start your Eagles team, Who would it be, Donovan McNabb or Carson Wentz? Right now, over 3,000 votes, and Carson Wentz has it 84% to 16. Are you kidding me? Is there that much Donovan hate? Is there that much Donovan hate around here, or is everyone just enthralled with Carson Wentz? If Carson Wentz was healthy and I put him up against Donovan, and again, Carson Wentz stayed healthy and continued to improve and develop his game, I might go with Wentz. I might go with Wentz. I think he's more accurate of a passer, and to me, that's the most important thing you need as a quarterback is accuracy. And I think Carson Wentz is very accurate. So if he was healthy, I'd take Carson Wentz. But again, forget about health. Just pick one of the players, and I'll go with Carson Wentz, too. So 84% going with Carson Wentz over Donovan McNabb. I still thought it would be closer. Are we just in the current? We're in the now? Because Donovan did a lot of good things here. I'm not a huge Donovan fan, but when he got injured, you know, when Jeff Garcia wasn't here, it was tough to watch. I was heartbroken that I'm going to watch bad football. I want my franchise quarterback back. So I like Donovan. I didn't love him, but I mean, he did some good things. Put up some good numbers, over 37,000 yards. His win to loss record about 2-1. Same with his touchdown to interception ratio. Carson Wentz has a better touchdown to interception ratio. He has 97 touchdowns and like 30 to 37 interceptions. It's really, or 32 interceptions. That's off the charts. That is off the charts. And, you know, but Donovan has a playoff record, 9-7 in the playoffs, 16 playoff games. That's a lot of playoff games. That's not Brady. That's a lot of playoff games, though, to get to. 5 NFC title games. I know they had trouble getting over the hump. 2 games they were at home. They were favorites over Carolina. They put up 3 points against that Panther defense. Donovan threw 3 picks to Ricky Manning Jr. They lost 14-3. And then, of course, the Tampa game where they lost. What were they down? They were down. It was 27-10. Everyone talks about Rondae Barber winning that game. That was a touchdown to seal the game. They were up 10. They were up 10. The Eagles were driving. They still needed 2 scores. Everyone talks about that. I mean, that ended the season. But that wasn't the key play in the game. The key play in the game was probably Joe Juravicius running up the left sideline. Barry Gardner, you know, limping, trying to chase him down. But no, to me, Rondae Barber, he sealed the game. Eagles might have made it close. Onside kick. You never know what could happen. But to me, that wasn't, it wasn't like they were driving up 6 or down 6 and Barber makes that pick and makes it a 13-point game. So that was my only point. All right, got to take another break. 1 more hour to go here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Joe Stajak. We're coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.